Welcome back, everyone, to our Emancipation series. We've taken a break because we needed to, and we needed that time to really prepare for this conversation. So if you caught the first one, River and Sovereign were on with me, and we had Endon, and I'm really excited to have Shay and Will join us for this conversation, real, raw, and relevant. Many of you know Shay from Earth Heroes TV, where we're streaming this live, who's been our sponsors and partner through all the work that Sovereign and I have done through that initiation of the Brave New Life community. So I'm so grateful to you, Sovereign, for that connection and the behind the scenes that we did to birth that community and those conversations. And this was the idea behind this, was the next level of conversations, you know, and really specifically between the masculine and feminine, or not necessarily between it, but to really spark a deeper dialogue. And really grateful to have you all here, and to have you here, Will, joining us. You've met us through the Brave New Life community and the work that River and I are doing with Haven Earth. You're here with us in Texas as we embark on this hemping certification course. So really excited to have your voice in the conversation too. So the last time that we started, and I'm gonna start with you, Shay, because the question was, what does sovereignty mean to you? So I'm going to have you open up the conversation with that.
That's awesome. Thanks, Marnie. Good to see you, gentlemen. So stoked to be back in this space with you all again. And thanks, everyone, tuning in, watching right now. I'd love to hear where you're actually watching from. And it'd be great to have you guys as part of the conversation as well. So just drop us a comment. Let us know where you're tuning in from. And we would love to hear from you as well. But I really love this because I've been tracking really closely with the amazing work that Imani, you've been, you know, been such a pioneer in leading this space, and same too with Sovereign. So, you know, just to be another kind of cog in the wheel of the engine that's moving this greater wheel of humanity through this collective shift that we're moving through, and it's just been an absolute privilege and really really humbling just to do my piece and play my part and be a part of the bigger cosmic wheel that's at play here. And well, I was having this conversation today actually at a local market, and ultimately for me, it's really about coming into awareness as to who I really am, you know, why am I really here? And the biggest thing that I feel is most relevant around the sovereignty piece is knowing thyself. And that, you know, goes beyond just the, you know, piece of paper that says my name with a number next to it that is, you know, legally entitized to navigate the kind of corporate sphere, but I'm much more than that, you know. Like, I am a soul infused man that is living and breathing and walking this earth, and have the privilege to co-navigate and co-create and collaborate in spaces like this with amazing other, you know, human beings in the world. So it's a really big topic around the sovereignty piece, and it's coming into awareness for more and more people, particularly in today's day and age. And I definitely put my hand up and say that although I am learning and remembering what that means for me, and stepping into my place of honor and integrity and nobility as a man in the world, and really growing in my own space, and particularly that's what I love about this conversation that we're really going to have today, is looking at that distinguish between being a boy and being a man. Because I know lots of, 50-year-olds, for example, in men's bodies, but still acting out, you know, boy psychology, boy mindset, and boy patterns. So I'm really excited to learn today more again, as I'm always learning on this journey, and to hear the stories and the beautiful hearts of these gentlemen who are going to share today as well. Just super stoked to be here. And I'd be curious to those who are tuning in and listening, because I know in this community there's such wealth of wisdom that this community has in store. And to hear from you guys, if you're watching right now, what does sovereignty mean to you? Just drop it in the comments. I'd love to hear from you all. But that would be my quick definition.
I love hearing from you, Shay. I know you're always so good at recognizing everyone else, but you always have so much to contribute to the conversation. So I so appreciate your open heart and that the vulnerability that you have in all the conversations. So that was a beautiful opening. And it is really this remembering, right? This putting back together ourselves and the parts that we've lost, because we've all had these programs specifically around sovereignty where we haven't remembered even that we were sovereign. So I think that that's a really beautiful way to start it off. And the other thing that, you know, when you were kind of saying people tuning, or where are you tuning in from? What's really significant about the conversation tonight is we have you in Australia, right? We have River here, who's from the UK, but in the States right now, but has that perspective. And then Sovereign, who's in Bali and lived in Australia and also
from Europe.
Yeah, and from Europe. So, and then Will, who's in the States. So it's, I think that's going to add another dimension to the conversation, but I think what it will also do is kind of weave together the similarities of that transition from being like boyhood into manhood, that no matter where you are in the world, there's these certain, what we kind of call these rites of passages, but how do we transition through that? And that's a great segue to you, Will, because I know you're doing a lot of work specifically with youth around rites of passage. This is a big topic for you. So putting the question to you of what sovereignty means to you.
Thank you so much. So beautiful, Shay. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it really resonates for me. It's the awareness piece is huge. The balance, you know, finding the balance is something I'm really working on right now. So the ego and the soul, the masculine, the feminine, you know, the inner child and the man, all of that. To me, it's about the awareness in each moment. And I forget time and time again. So it's just about remembering, like you said, who I am, what my service is, what I'm here for, you know, what each present moment is there to teach me and show me. And, you know, when I do the work to be able to hold that, I can show up in service to others. And it's big things like planning out, you know, how we're going to do the new earth. And it's little things like how I can fully show up for each person in each conversation and for myself, you know, that's a big piece. And for the rite of passage, for me, it looks like, sitting with the indigenous elders, and you know, I was really blessed to be able to do that. I think that my ancestors really haven't had that opportunity for a long time. I come from a long line of people who have been in America since early 1700s, so I'm really interested in that piece. You know, it looks like shadow work, it looks like light work, it's something I'm really defining and figuring out myself with my teachers. And I'm really passionate about bringing that to other men in my coaching practice and other kids as well. So yeah, thank you.
Well, when you talk about shadow work, that leads us to Sovereign, you know, that's an automatic, but in Sovereign, we've talked about sovereignty with you and River. So I actually wanted to segue into that maybe a little bit, you know, of the shadow work piece of it when we're going through that, and maybe sharing a little bit of your own journey of, you and I have had the conversation of how do we balance these roles as men and women and this, these kind of dizzy cult programming, let's say, as you like to call them, and how men show up as a protector and in the masculine, but also the stories or programs from the women in your lives and that you are experienced of how you, you know, navigate through the expectations or the, as we kind of the making that kind of commitment or any kind of contracting for a man to be a certain way that the woman is desiring or envisioning.
Yeah, so beautiful. For me, in returning home to self, which I think is the great journey, which is the great return home to love, to wholeness, to sovereignty. There's no sovereignty to claim or to get to or to go out towards. It is all a dissolving of the wetiko, the mind virus, the human damage within. And for me, recognizing that through the cult programming and the social conditioning that we've come into this world through, we've all been preconditioned to relate to life in a way that isn't syntropic. And this is where, for me, the piece on syntropy is the missing link, because it is life strategies and life's intrinsic ways of being in nature, out in the natural world, which are the same strategies that live through us, but we seem to have gone astray, and we recognize that we are disconnected much more from nature than maybe more the indigenous peoples were. The question then is, well, how do we reconnect? How do we restore? How do we regenerate that intrinsic and innate awareness? For me, it's been a radical commitment to getting out of human damage, but that's all right. So you recognize that you are operating on an unnatural kind of series of belief systems. But then it's still the question, how do you re-enable the natural frequencies? How do you re-enable the natural and innate ways, the life ways of peace and the life ways that are directly related to feeling free? And that is something of proper substance. That is the true hero's journey. And that is not just a one-time, you know, going around the circular clock, so to speak, where we venture out into a new adventure and then we have our breakdown, or the breakdown causes us to go on to the adventure. That seems to be a spiraling dynamic, which in syntropic agroforestry, if anybody is familiar or would like to know, that is what my gift is: taking syntropic agroforestry and turning it onto our internal agroforest, us as a forest, us as nature. And in nature, everything operates and expands on this spiral dynamic. And so is our return to wholeness. It's a spiraling dynamic. And there is a lot to kind of let go of, but for me, what has been most interesting to discover, what are the footholds that I can step into that are given language, that are filled with words that are not so much the opposite, but they are the affirming, they are the raising, they are the celebrating, they are the expanding, they are the growing, they give the impetus for renewal. Because the language that I grew up with has been very entropic, and it's been very much looking at what is not working. And that is a process of kind of like radical weaning off on. And because we can never find who it is who we are by saying, I'm not that. And so choosing to become love and choosing to really will from the being self, this return to love into motion, archetypally speaking, invocates a tremendously wild and wondrous hero's journey that is very counter cult programming to what we have actually all come from. And yet it is the most fulfilling and the most real and the most challenging journey that I think that humans can really take. But that is the only real kind of, I wouldn't say viable, because it's all, you know, everything can be viable, but it's the only one that's real progressive, and it's the only one that's actually really effective, and it's the one that isn't actually distractive. But it goes in against, so to speak, a lot of the cult programming and the limiting belief systems and the stories, tremendous amounts of stories that we have been programmed with to operate on. And so that is how she's are to have expectation of he's. Why? It's because the primary he, their father, wasn't actually raising them and praising them and celebrating that, and gave them more of the restrictive and kind of bringing them down by means of all the rules and all the you can't do this and you should do this. And we have been severely affected as love-filled creatures that are here to co-create and celebrate and play, and we're here on the earth. Wow, look at me. And if we're not being seen, acknowledged, witnessed, and spoken to in kind and uplifting and encouraging ways as the children that we are, then later in life, we're going to have very wrought expectations on men, or very bent expectations on women. And I feel that that is a good starting point to kind of really enter the conversation without necessarily really answering you. Because if we don't have the terrain that we're really navigating, the landscape that we're really in, and we don't, if we're still viewing life through the lens of are of an unaware being in the world that is based on the programming that it never really gelled and it never really felt nice, but we never really radically inquired with it. Like, how wrong was it really? And it's not to shame it or blame it away, but it gives the ability to start comparing it and measuring it to the syntropic natural way of how we would naturally do it as humans. And so the question would be, is like, how would nature do it? What would love say? What would syntropy say? What would compassion say? What are the life ways of peace, love, and harmony? And if love would say something like that, how come that's difficult in me? And that's then again going in. Well, do I want to keep doing it like that? Am I willing to get out of that? And so this is a big in our human ecology. This is the landscape that I feel is the new frontier, and is the one that we can only traverse within. But we are social creatures, and I do feel that having these conversations and sparking people's own remembrance, because what we're speaking to is nothing new. It's just what lives in all of us. But it does benefit being spoken to in order for the awareness to get regenerated, reactivated.
Yeah, and it's an activation. Thank you for kind of creating that or defining the terrain or that landscape, because it is, you know, when we started our conversations with Brave New Life, I talked about like this syntropy as this new like love language. It was an activation when we speak this reality or this new timeline or this new way of being into existence. Cause I think it's really important to hear the words, the sounds, the syllables. Talked about that a lot too, that it creates a new possibility. And so, you know, I was doing that inner terrain work and River was doing his, but when we met through our Brave New Life conversations, it was actually the container that created a platform, a new way for us to relate that neither of us had done with another. You know, we were on our solo journeys, but it was an opportunity to explore doing that together, this new way of relating that we were all practicing, right, in these conversations. And through that, both, you know, Sovereign and I kind of embarked on our Brave New Loves. And that was even more beautiful. And that kind of brings in that conversation of around expectation as women, you know, in a relationship to men and men. I think, though, and I'm speaking for the women, that I often think that women have a lot of anticipation or expectation of what a relationship will what will come from that. And I think that that's can be really inhibiting when we, you know, enter into any kind of relationship. And so that's really what I wanted to explore into and hear from all of you of how do you feel that you've been contracted and what's the difference for you and being in a relationship where you are able to both be sovereign, right? Where not one is trying to control the other, where there is no expectations and there's just that showing up in the moment. And that's a good time to bring you into the conversation, because that's what River and I've been practicing and how we've shown up.
Quite a lot.
We're always practicing. So you ready to share?
Yeah, really. I'm never ready to share. And that's
the beauty.
That's the point, I think, that you just got to. Just choosing to show up, like you said, Sovereign, willingness. It's like anything, I think. We have to really desire it. We have to really know that's the path to something better. Because for me, and I'm sure all of us, and most men, growing up in a society where there's an image of what we should be, but in a way it's a really distorted image. So it was really hard to, it's just very confusing. And I think that's the issue, and obviously why William's doing what he's doing and Sovereign why you're doing it and all of it. I'm not in that realm. I mean, I see the power in doing the workshops. I see the power in bringing people together to really understand and be empowered again. Because I think when we're disempowered in any kind of relationship, it can be really destructive. And I think that's the root for me, at least, is that disempowerment and not having an anchor or a guide in that way is a model of what a real man really looks like. You know, we have the movies, superstars, heroes, save the day, but it's all really distorted that either you're a Superman or you're a super shit. You know what I mean? It's like where is it okay to be a normal human being and a normal man and that be enough? But I think we have this comparative nature in society, whether we know it or not, that we're comparing ourselves all the time. And that unawareness around like that we are sovereign, that we are our own entity and we are the one that makes the decisions for ourselves. And how I do that, you know, I haven't been in a relationship for a long time. And so we came together because I just didn't feel like I was ready for a relationship of that magnitude. And so when we came in a relationship, I think, you know, it's not always successful, you know, that, but we try to communicate and I feel the things coming up and that, you know, whoever was saying it, the boy coming back in to have a, you know, a tantrum to, you know, hold his power, you know, like, you know, and it's all kind of coming back to this human damage from the younger years. And how do we role model that in how we're relating to each other? But in a way authentically, because I think there's also the stigma around not getting on and not, you know, like having a rosy colored relationship, right? That you step out into the world and all of a sudden it's perfect, you know, like it's kind of like putting on an act in a way, right? And so many people do it and they dress the part and they have the this and that and the other thing, but behind the scenes they're like crying and dying and lost and you know, disempowered. How to, I guess, for me is me to try and step up to be what I feel is a better version of a man and a father. And I've had lots of practice and failures at that. So I feel definitely up against the wall sometimes because of that. But I'm definitely determined that this is the only way that we have to take back our power. Otherwise, we're going to go into an even worse situation, is in my mind. It's kind of like we're on that knife edge, right? Either we really step up and define what the future is going to be and how we relate, or we let it be defined for us, and that you know, is even more detached.
So I think these times are actually really significant for us to really resolve this, and I'll use your words, sovereign, like the human damage between the masculine and the feminine. I think that this wound actually is the vortex, like the center point, because when we resolve this within ourselves and in relationship with each other, all other things resolve from that point. I think, and that was really the impetus for me behind these conversations. I think that this particular time in history is really dependent on women obviously being in power and the recognition of the feminine, but not in a distorted way, not in a way where we demasculate the men, where men can be men. We need men to be men right now. And I think this is a really challenging time on the planet to be a man for a lot of different reasons that I'm not going to dive into here. I think we all tuning in probably know. So,
well, I mean, I can interrupt. I mean, you look at what happened in the USSR when the wall broke down and everything kind of collapsed there in hyperinflation, whatever. It was the men actually, all, you know, most of the men turned to alcohol and vodka and all of this, and it was really the woman who stepped up, and it's like you see that now, right? You see a lot of the women coming in, they're like awake, they want to converse, they want to talk about the new earth, and then
the mama bears,
yeah, the mama bears, but
defending,
but it's but it is a bit, it's more challenging to find the men who are willing to step up. You know, I just feel that's relevant that we're at that similar point now where it's like we really need to step up into that role as the protector. But we have all the distractions that we could just go into and ignore it and let somebody else, let the women take, you know, take control.
So that's sort of the next part I want to move into is that, how are you balancing being a protector and, you know, finding that part of yourself? But there's also this, what I see out there is, and not just women, but people wanting to be saved, wanting someone to save them, that knight in shining armor. So for women, obviously a man to save them. And there's a lot to be saved from in the world right now. And we look at people, we look at politicians, we look at leaders, we look at, I won't even go into the list of things, but people to save us. But sovereignty is about saving ourselves. Sovereignty is not about being saved. It's not, because when we engage in those contractual relationships is where we give our sovereignty away. And we do that with our government. We do that with our families. We do that with our relationships. We do that in all kinds of dynamics. So Shay, how do you address that being the protector, but not getting caught up in that sort of being that knight in shining armor where you're going to save that woman in need, or, you know, solve all the problems or be everything? I'm just curious how that's working for you.
Thanks, Imani, and thanks for sharing, gentlemen. I love hearing your perspective. And just to add a little bit of context to a personal story that I feel is relevant to share, to add to what, give a deeper explanation as to what Sovereign was sharing a moment ago. When I was 17, I was really, you know, enthusiastic leader, let's say, because I was a school captain, sports captain, football captain, and I pursued my dream to go over to the United States and play soccer at college. I was stoked, got a scholarship. I was like loving life, and it was my dreams come true. And I didn't realize at that time, although my body was very physically a man, I was still very much stuck in the boy mindset and the boy psychology. And that led me to go off and, you know, be praised and celebrated, to go out and sleep with all the women, you know, be the player, be the sportsman, and be the kind of knight in shining armor that you're saying, the hero. But at the expense, what was the expense and what was the payoff? And you can go online on Netflix. There's a great documentary. It's called Liberated, the New Sexual Revolution. And I'm the main feature in it. And it really highlights how we have been socially conditioned through media to behave and act in a certain way for men, which is a very limiting box to be in, because we've got to be macho, we've got to be brave, we've got to be strong, we've got to be all of these things. And we're putting on this performance. It's like this facade of this mask that we're trying to be something. But really, as we've all spoken, as River said, you know, deep down inside in our hearts, we're actually suffering. And there's this like feeling that it's a desolation, because we're not actually being true to ourselves. We don't have the capacity to truly express our emotions. And that's the key point, is for me, in my experience, was I was suppressing so much of my emotions, which is our drivers in our lives. And I love the work of Syntropy, because it observes nature through its patterns. And then you got to ask, like, what are my patterns? I have behavioral patterns. I have psychological patterns. And if I'm, you know, going on the journey, we're going through this great awakening, but I call it the great transformation, where we as human beings are realizing that we have the power within us to alchemize, you know, our experience and the suffering. And that doesn't mean we condemn others when they're going through their own process, but we've got to internalize and look at what's really happening within me, in my heart, in my emotions, and my feelings. And we have the power to actually go through this process to transmute and transform and alchemize these feelings towards myself, which are then expressed to my external environment. If I'm having shame and guilt and all this pain inside of me that I'm suppressing, and I don't have the capacity, or I don't feel safe enough to be able to express it, then how can I offer that to somebody I love? Now, that's the beauty in what we're seeing in so many men step up in today's age, that they are doing the work, they are transforming themselves, they are, you know, really owning their own stuff, their own life, their own experience, and their emotions. And I've also stepped into a relationship in the last year, which has been a big thing for me to also open up my heart and be vulnerable. And it's like the thing that we crave the most, intimacy, is what scares us the most, you know? It's like the biggest test, because our patterns are inevitably going to reappear based on that, you know, conditioning from this cult-programmed society that we've all been born into. And so it's like the question is, like, how do we step into a conscious relationship loving ourselves and having our own, you know, unified field of love expanding and interacting with another who has also got patterns playing out, but they're committing. The big word is committing and being willing with like a commitment that no matter what happens and what shows up, that we're gonna show up, we're gonna be there for each other. And it's like the evolution of that is that, yes, we're gonna make mistakes, and I've made many. I'm certainly not perfect, but coming into more awareness, and I find it easier to identify patterns externally, because that's how I learned, was to identify patterns in nature, patterns in other people, but then it's harder for me to accept the patterns of myself. So we become really great mirrors for one another, where Amber's like, hey, Shay, you know that pattern when you're a boy, it's repeating itself where you're not expressing yourself, and you go in when there's conflict and you hide. This is a great opportunity for me to grow, to accept, you know, feedback, even though it's really challenging and really hard to say, okay, I'm sorry. Like, please forgive me. I'm trying my best here. I really love you. And thank you for bringing that up for me. And coming to the relationship where we're relating on this ship together to grow ultimately. And I feel that's the ultimate spiritual progression, is this ability to grow personally and then to give as well. So giving it in a loving way, because it's easy to like pick out all the bad things out of each other, you know, and point the finger and be a little bit of a bit of a bully at times, you know, because the ego gets in the way and we're trying to like better ourselves, make ourselves feel better by making someone feel small. And then really we've got to realize, wow, is that really, you know, a conscious way of relating? And so when I'm observing this, I realize that relationships, it's got to be treated like life or death. Because really, that's relationships is where the most emotion is. And it's the emotion that is driving our lives, my life. And in a relationship, you know, it's like the most loving, connected, ecstasy moments. But then at the same time, that's the most painful. It's the most heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. And so it's like, wow, okay, when there's that extreme polarity in the emotions in that space, that's really where the work can be done. And when I look at my own life, I'm like, oh, okay, I can recognize, yes, I've got to balance out the emotional feminine energies within me to come to the relationship whole and complete and resolved and full. But then also recognizing that that I have masculine qualities as a man that we're talking about stepping up and, you know, like fighting for freedom. Because if you look at it through history, men have died for freedom. You know, they've put their body on the line to fight for freedom to the end. And that's what it seems like what we're calling through, is men to really step up and own, you know, all of themselves, every part of them, and really be committed to showing up lovingly with their intimate relationships, but then, you know, putting their body on the line for a time in history. Like you've all said, this is one of the most unique moments in human history that we've ever, you know, experience, and we're like, we're living it. We're alive. We get to ride this journey. And it's like recognizing there's a responsibility in that, a huge responsibility. And in the words, again, it's like the ability to respond to what's coming up for us. And that's what I feel is necessary for all of us, is to recognize, you know, are we choosing to just like operate in our default pattern and just go back down the same old pathway that we've been playing out all of our lives in this unconditioned state? Or are we choosing in every moment to just realign, recalibrate, become back into our awareness again and consciously direct our words, because it's our words that is our sword ultimately in today's day and age. You know, it's just look at the word, the letters are there. It's our sword and how we use to fight by directing our conversations with those that we love and those that are in our sphere in this space. And it just feels like, I mean, I love what Sovereign shares a lot on this, around how words are governing our consciousness. And that's why we're having these conversations. And thank you, Imani, for initiating this, because, you know, by articulating our experience and sharing our stories from where we've come from, what we've learned, so we don't have to, you know, people say that you learn from your mistakes, but why not learn from others' mistakes? So collectively we can grow at a rapid rate, and we can take our communities or our civilization to a whole new space just by having these open conversations and finding the words to the feelings so that we can resolve them and move forward. So that's how I feel about it at this stage.
I love you. I love it, Shay. That was beautiful. And I love, you know, the willingness to show up in relationship, because that's where we do the work and learning from each other, which is the point of these conversations, so humanity can move forward on a fast track, because these times require it. I also love that you brought in this aspect of the fierceness that these times require to defend freedom and our sovereignty, which is at stake, which is the whole point of this conversation. Yet you also contrast that with the intimacy and the vulnerability of being in conscious relationship. And doing both of those simultaneously, I don't think is any small feat, because it's really easy to go into one aspect, right? The defender, the protector, going into battle. But to be going into battle and to also have and, you know, be in touch with that softness, whether you call it your feminine, but that aspect of yourself, that fullness of who you are, requires, I think it's a new skill that we're learning. So I love how you brought that into the conversation. And I want to just ask you one more question, and then I'm going to move on to Sovereign and relationship, because he's into it, and then move on to William about the protector. But you talked about safety, Shay. How have you created it so that you feel safe in this relationship to access that part of yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Marnie. I'll be quick and I'll share a quick story. I recently done a course with a phenomenal man, and there was men and women in the course. And just to give you the quick message that he was trying to promote, that there are inherent qualities in men that are slightly different to women. And that's why women have the privilege to give birth, and men have a role to, you know, to serve women so that they can go through that process. And first he got the women to like just put on some really nice music and really feel into their feminine and flow and move and dance and do all these things. And then he turned the music off and he turned to the men. And he did one thing, and right in front of everyone, he just went, "Freedom!" And all the men at the same time, simultaneously, just went, "Freedom!" And we went on for about 10 minutes where we were just yelling freedom at each other and got, like, giving it our all, like we were celebrating and we were screaming and going nuts and crazy for it. And we were just like fully in the rawest masculine power you could ever imagine. You know, it was just like this primordial energy just like radiating out of our bodies. And it was like, it was overwhelming, because all the men in the room would just like suddenly stand up and just scream at the top of their lungs. And then it stopped. And the guy who was leading it, he said, "I didn't have to tell you one thing to do and you all did it. But even more than that, I want to hear from the woman." So he pointed someone out who feels willing to share. And one of the women got up and he said, "How did that make you feel?" And she grabbed the mic and she started crying. And she said, "That is the most safe and secure I have ever felt in all of my life. To see men step up in their primal essence and step into their power, I felt held." And I guess the message of that little story is recognizing, by stepping into our power as men and recognizing, you know, the ability that we have to be totally enabled, totally capable of, you know, driving the ship or holding a woman in a relationship, is that the more that we step up and step into ourselves and embody our full experience, our masculine and our feminine side, the more safety and security and love and nurture that the woman is going to feel in that too.
Mm. Thank you, Shay. So Sovereign, on this journey of your brave new love, how have you created the safety to go into those deeper places that Shay was just doing? I know you can talk about a lot of things, but I'm asking you personally to feel safe enough in a relationship where you can really embody all of those aspects of yourself and show up fully.
Yeah, it all has come down to my willful commitment years ago to re-enable my nature. And the thing with the will is that and to you know, you used that word practicing before, but it is real training. It is like, if we have been conditioned to operate on a certain unconscious manner, then it is real training to transition out of that and re-enable those natural inborn qualities. And the will is foundational in that, because when I say that I am willing to re-enable my nature, I am informing, I'm instructing my cells, I'm instructing even the unconscious mind that I am willing to get out of human damage. I'm willing to re-enable my nature, and therefore I am willing to be really real with what's really going on in the thoughts. And revealing is healing. And it requires willingness to reveal what is actually really going on. And this is what I have chosen to, it's the only path that actually works. It's the revealing through expressing what is actually has been there that I've been trying to hide or whatever. Not that I understood the patterns underlying them initially, but when I started revealing what was going on that I recognized that wasn't actually natural. And this is the beauty about the syntropic nature of the human experience, is that every human being, when asked the question, are these thoughts, you know, and we are not in each other's head, but are the thoughts that you are having in your head natural thoughts about this person? So the way that I would have maybe thoughts pre-programmed in my mind about women was, oh, I would really like to take her, or I would really like, but not in a healthy manner. And so then the question is that natural? And if it isn't natural, do you want to keep doing it like that? And that's where everything becomes a choice. And so I've shown up for myself to reveal what is going on as distortions, as unnatural thought frequencies, and to reveal those. And by being willing, I have created the safety of the container for myself. And I've not made my container dependent on whether or not the other person that I want to reveal with is actually able to really receive that. But one thing that is really important in order to activate that internal transforming, I want to say mechanism, but that sounds a little bit industrial. The innate process is to check in with the other. So I am in the awareness. I have some unnatural thought frequencies going on about maybe what she looks like, or maybe what how she's doing it. And as Shay said, like this narrative, like, oh, I think she's not doing it right. And I can give her some positive feedback or constructive feedback. Really what I'm telling her is, you're not doing it right. I know better. And because I've got all this time to sit around and listen to what you're all doing, I get to, you know, and I'm helping you. But in the process, I'm really just kind of like knocking you down. I'm really just actually bringing you down to then lift you up so that you can do it the way that I think that it's better. And it really benefits to really sit with that and get radically real with all of those, that pre-thinking on behalf of others, what would be better for it. And so what I call that is love inverted. And I've really stopped doing that for as much as I can by being willing to get out of it. So I declare to myself, I am willing to get out of seeing her do stuff, seeing him do stuff, and feeling the needs to, you know, that comes up. Oh, I can help them, you know, do it better. And just and recognizing I'm getting out of that. Because that is love inverted. That is like, oh, that happened to me. That didn't work. And so I want to protect you from having that same experience. But what I do in that process, I take away her sovereignty. I take away her own unique journey. And what it really says, I don't trust your process. But really what it says, I don't know who I am. Because I can't be at peace within myself witnessing you having your unique process. I feel that I need to fix you. I need to do something. I need to. And why? When I really feel into it is because I, underneath all of that, I get uncomfortable. Why? Because my primary imprinting gets triggered. And for me, that has been that the genetical mother that I grew up with had a lot of illness and a lot of energy deficiency when she was, when I was in my early formative years. And so that's an experience that on a cellular level, I don't want to re-experience. So when my partner Colleen would go into weakness or sickness or illness, there were these like very strong reactions. And she has a similar commitment to showing up, to being willing to create the space for that conversation, to do the revealing so that the healing can take place. For me, that's how I've created the safety, not so much in our relationship, but as a commitment to myself. And one of the core elements in that, that when I have done the bulk of this, like, because there's five primary imprints that are really like the core traumatic anchor points that define so much of our distorted ways of relating to life that isn't coming from that natural harmonic space. And once I've gone through that, is now a process of more and more refinement. But one of the things that I was really committed to in order to keep myself safe as well is to really check in with the others. Like, hey, I'm noticing that I have these thoughts coming up for me about you, and I just want to check in with you if you're open to receiving. And so this is creating consensus. It's creating a space where the other person says, yeah, I hear that there's stuff coming up for you that you want to reveal, and you want me to just be a witness to that. I can do that. And so when I then express and I reveal what's going on, and in that process, it's not just like, I have these thoughts about you because I'm seeing you do this and da da da. It's like, I have these thoughts coming up for me, and I really don't want to keep doing it like this. It is the identification of, do I want to keep doing it like this? Do I want to have these waste thoughts going on? And this has to do with sovereignty and the recognition that what that in its essence really is that we are at home, we are at peace, and we're no longer preoccupied with other. And from the study of syntropy, it is evident that everything in life is performing a function with purpose. And so the same goes for our thoughts. If I'm preoccupied with somebody and I have a lot of waste going on, I have judgments, projections, story about my partner, that is performing a function with purpose. Now, many people would say, oh, great, then you can go and tell her what the purpose is because you're so smart, right? No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is for me to question, wow, I have a lot of opinions about what it is that she is or isn't doing. And the real question is, do I want to feel like that? Do I want to keep doing it like that? Because most of my life, I've just justified the fuck out of every rational overuse of the intelligence that I had about her or about him, and never really gone into that place. Like, why is it there in the first place? Well, if you ask the question why, the only answer that actually ever applies is human damage. Because if you recognize that something isn't natural and you ask the question, why is it there? Well, the answer is human damage. Then you can figure out, okay, well, do I want to keep doing it like that? No, I am willing to get out of it. And by me creating those space containers, by checking in with others, are you open to receiving? It sets a template for relating that allows me to fully share openly and freely without the pre-existing, because I used to have it, the fear of them not really listening or them still wanting to give me advice. Oh, I think you should be doing this, because what I asked them is just to receive it. I didn't ask them for feedback. I didn't ask them for, you know, are you open to listening to me? Because it's not that I don't know what's going on. I know exactly what's going on, but I want to express it. And this is where then feeling-based relating has become the metric that through our co-navigating together, Imani, and also with Shay, that has become an unspoken format, a life way of being, of showing up, where we relate from our feelings, we receive one another, and the healing process that is wanting to naturally come about, it may take long, it may take short, but it usually does come about. And I feel that that's something that is a very natural way of cultivating harmony. And for me, it's been my natural way to cultivate safety within myself, that I am safe with myself because I am willing to show up for my feelings, for my judgments, and I'm willing to get out of them. I'm willing to reveal them so that they can be replaced or dissolved or let go of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. The key points around willingness, you know, and also just that you're creating that container for yourself and that willingness for you to go into that place with another, and the need to express and without any expectation or attachment to outcome, just this natural way of relating. Thank you, Sovereign. And Will, I'm wondering with what Sovereign, and I'm sure because you this is maybe in some ways new to this conversation around syntropy, and so I'm curious of how you're feeling into the human damage that you've had in your own life, to what extent you want to share, and that role of showing up as that protector, as that hero, the person to save the day, balancing that with this other aspect that's emerging to be vulnerable, the strength and the vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I just want to say thank you to both of you, Sovereign and Shay, and you, River and Imani. This is an amazing conversation and so powerful. So many things resonated with me. Yeah, I grew up playing soccer too. I played soccer in college, and so I had that same kind of, I was always the captain of my team. I was always like the alpha. And I had a deep, like, competitive drive in me for 20 years. So I definitely played that role of the hero. I transferred that into finance and accounting. And Sabina really resonated with what you said about the father, you know, growing up, kind of like always being shown what was right or wrong or good or bad. And I'm the fourth William, actually. So I'm trying to live up to like my dad, who was, you know, really powerful person. And my family is just like fighters, like have always actually put their life on the line for freedom, fought in all the wars. And so, you know, I was conflicted because I was a sensitive child. I was an empath, and I'm growing up in this world where everything kind of seems like everybody has it figured out, but I don't feel like it doesn't feel right. So I started to stuff down my emotions, my sensitivity, you know, and so how this has all played out for me is on my 30th birthday, basically I woke up and I realized, you know, who I was. Like I really woke up to my heart and to how beautiful I am and how much I love myself. And simultaneously that came with my entire life crashing down right after that. My fiance left me. I lost my house. I just hit rock bottom. And, you know, I realized I had built up all of these compulsions. I have built up a lot of codependent, addictive habits, you know, really sacrificing myself to please others, to make others like me, you know. And then it also had this like very masculine like grip on it. Like it was like very competitive, always trying to be the best, always trying to like outdo the next person. And so the process that I had to go through was unraveling all of that and really sitting with myself. And, you know, actually it was the women who sat with me, and it was doing it in, you know, some of my teachers say, we don't break on our own, you know, like Sovereign was saying, it's that human element. We don't break, like we come into this world as divine beings and we break from others, you know, we break in our families, we break in our communities. And so we don't heal on our own either. We have to heal with others. We have to heal with our communities, and we have to come back and sit in circle. And that's really how I broke through. I was like extremely vulnerable in a group of strangers in healing circles. And, you know, and then I sat with the women and I sat with my teachers and then I sat with the men. And that's also what I'm super excited for moving forward. Even this conversation is showing me like the men are ready to show up for that part of it, because I couldn't hold space for a woman or anyone in my life unless I could hold space for that aspect of myself. And that's how I really started to grow and mature And, you know, the more I can hold space for myself, the more I can show up in service and hold space for others. And, yeah, my brothers, now I'm like super excited because we're coming back together and we're like really doing this. Like we're talking about this stuff. We're moving through it together. And I think that's a big missing element. You know, we haven't had that, at least from what I've seen in my life in the West, is like we kind of are so competitive with men that we never actually show up and share space and be intimate in a way that's like really supportive and like really understanding of the process of becoming a man, you know? And so that is, you know, this conversation is really, and every conversation I have throughout the day is really giving me so much hope and strength that we're stepping into protection. We're actually stepping into our power to protect the women, the children, the elders. And here's the thing, we're not going to do it through violence, because that's what we were shot, that's what we were shown, and that's what we were taught. And violence just begets more violence. You know, we can do it by just fully accepting ourselves. We can do it by fully diving in, doing the inner work, being intimate, being open, holding space for ourselves. And then the vibration that we send out is just so healing for people around us. They're attracted to us. They feel safe around us. And it's like, it's no longer like I have to fight you for whatever you believe. I know what I believe. I know what my truth is. And I know what we need to do. And what we need to do right now is we need to sit with each other. We need to heal with each other. We need to come back into community. We need to get back to nature. We need to regenerate ourselves, our cells, and our land so that we can steer the ship in the right direction. And we're doing that. So I'm just grateful. Thank you.
Mm. Thank you, Will. It's so,
thanks, brother.
Yeah, I love sensing your excitement for and the sense of hope. And I think this conversation will inspire and leave many men and women in a place of hope. And I have to say that, you know, I'll let River close, but one of the things, there's many things I love about him, but one of the things is you talked about this kind of competitive nature that you were programmed around. And you know, I only know my last experience with him, but all of my experience in this last year with him is being as open to men and being vulnerable. And I don't know if it's just through the conversations we have as it is with the way he is with women. And I think that your ability to, you know, I mean, especially being in relationship and I think oftentimes when you're sovereign in relationship, that can bring up a lot of insecurities, especially when you have a lot of connections. I mean, Sovereign and I had a very deep connection, and River's whole way of being in relationship with me and all of these people that I love dearly in my life was to embrace them and to link arms. And, you know, it's made us stronger as a unified team rather than, you know, in any way fracturing us. So I really appreciate how you just welcome, you know, all of the people that come into our lives, into mm-hmm. into our world and our relationship. And we really feel that we're here to template what's possible. And that's in doing that as we model how it is to be in relationship as a woman and as a man. So you wanna share?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think for me, it's through my shortcomings that I've, and maybe age, you know, losing my oldest son, a year and a half ago, you know, to suicide, and just realizing that there's no more time to waste. You know, I think that's for me a big part is like I'm really willing to do this, even though I feel like it's messy for me. I feel like it's a messy process. And like you said, Will, like you see, you know, you saw other people, looks like they've got it all together, right? And but you know, to other people we probably look like we have our shit together, you know. And I think it's like, how do we give each other a break? how, like you said, like how do we communicate again where we're not having to be something else? We've got all these images of what we're supposed to be. And like you said, Sovereign, all of that's bullshit. Actually, what's the reality is get rid of all of that. And you are you. There is no, you know, there isn't another version. All the other versions are just images laid over the top of that. And, you know, if I talk about this in my culture back in Newcastle, I might get, you know, a glass smashed up my head. But, you know, and that's why I was quiet. I think in a lot of ways growing up, especially around men, like I felt more comfortable around women. And it's been really challenging for me. But I think, like, you know, the death of my son and other things, really facing my dark night of the soul several times, it feels like, where that running away option is no longer there. That, you know, just escaping from all of this is no longer there. Mm-hmm. One thing I do have concern about is that we ask too much of each other in general. Like we ask too much of ourselves, and we hold the bar up too high. And I think that's part of the cult programming, is like that we're never good enough. There's always these superheroes. There's always this character. There's always this, and you know, I don't feel like I could ever be that. All I know I can be is authentically showing up as I am in this moment right now. And that isn't necessarily, you know, what you're talking about. Maybe sometimes it's just not that. I'm just unable to show up like that. But at least I'm willing to come back and learn more from that experience. And that's all I can commit to, you know, is the willpower, Sovereign, and what we've just been doing in the last 30 days with this reset and this kind of
re-enabling our will.
Was we said, you know, it's re-enabling the will. And I feel that is probably one of the most important components is the will, Sovereign. And I really appreciate all of that you brought around and spoke around that, because it's really helped me to just get that actually on its own is probably the biggest factor to transformation. And thank you all for showing up, and love you guys for holding this space.
Yeah, thank you for another beautiful, real, raw, relevant, enlightened, syntropic, conscious
normal
conversation.
Authentic.
So we can imprint what's possible as we build out this new world, new timeline, all of that together. So thank you for showing up. Thank you, Shay, for hosting on Earth Heroes TV. You can get there. Will, Sovereign, lots of love.